Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to the program. The theme today is human rights and the war in Gaza. I'm going to start with an article by Benjamin Krems Master titled Human Rights. It's one of the earlier articles published in Share International magazine in 1984. The question of human rights is at the centre of modern man's problems. In the past, the social structures dominated the lives of the individual and set up a hierarchical series of relationships in which everyone knew his place. The wife obeyed the husband, the man obeyed his lord, the lord obeyed and carried out the will of the king, while the clergy acted as intermediaries between God and man. These relationships, while artificial and imposed, served the needs of societies struggling to find their identities and place in the world. Today, all of this has changed. Apart from a few areas in which the ruling groups cling to the old forms, often at the cost of civil dissension and war, the peoples have asserted their right to self-determination. They have taken upon themselves the responsibility for just government, and by various procedures of representation can make their wills known. More than ever before, the peoples are calling for a closer participation in the decisions affecting their lives. This new freedom has set up a number of tensions which await resolution. Everywhere, the cry for more freedom sounds false, answered by an equally strident call for order and the rule of law from the groups concerned with maintaining the existing structures. Altogether new approaches are required to harmonize the aims of these opposing groups. That such harmony may be slow and difficult to attain must be accepted. That many conflicting viewpoints must be reconciled is self-evident. Yet while we await the solution of these problems, it might be advisable to set down some basic principles, some guidelines, without which the problems may appear to be intractable. The first consideration is that the laws governing society should be fair and applicable to everyone. Without such basic justice and impartiality, no one can be expected to observe the law. Frequently today, there is one law for the rich and another for the poor, a certain recipe for social strife. A further need is for the laws to be known and understood and couched in language accessible to all. Too often are men held prisoner and judged to be guilty of breaching laws long outmoded and known only to specialists. The greatest need is for an ever closer identity of interest between the individual and society. Only thus can the freedom of one and the stability of the other be preserved. How can this best be achieved? The United Nations Organization has formulated a code of human rights which, if implemented, would go far to resolve the existing social tensions and to provide the basis for a just and stable society. So far, this Universal Declaration of Human Rights remains but a dream for millions of dispossessed and disenfranchised people in every country in the world. The aim must be to establish with all possible speed these basic rights for all nations. With the exceptions of the principle of sharing, this becomes possible. No longer need men fight for the right to work, to feed their families, for a measure of control over their destinies. At a stroke, the acceptance of sharing will heal the divisions, end the confrontations, and cure the malady of the present situation, leading men out of the morass in which they have foundered. Make sharing, then, the goal of your endeavour. Show that the world now needs, more than ever in its history, the establishment of this just and basic principle, through the acceptance of which alone man will find and demonstrate his divinity. Now for a couple of articles from the latest issue of Share International magazine. This is the July-August issue. The first one is by a journalist based in London called Graham Peebles, and the title is Genocide in Gaza, Silence in the West. Media complicity and political cowardice have enabled mass slaughter. Such is the unhinged, hypocritical state of the world, particularly in the West. To speak the truth about Palestine, to name Israel's heinous campaign against Palestinians as genocidal, and to stand with the oppressed and starving, is to risk being branded an anti-Semite or an extremist. The consequences of such perverse labelling are many and far-reaching. Social isolation, loss of livelihood, deportation, or worse, total expulsion from public life. In contrast, say nothing critical of Israel, or almost nothing. Don't mention the most violent crime against humanity since the Second World War, and you'll be left alone. At a joint press conference on the 19th of May 2025, UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer and EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen were asked directly whether Israel is committing genocide. Both, to their utter shame, largely ignored the question. Von der Leyen, in particular, failed to summon even the most basic moral integrity. This evasiveness, combined with the appallingly biased coverage in virtually all mainstream media, most notably the globally influential BBC, has enabled Israel to carry out the systematic genocide of Palestinians in Gaza. The BBC is therefore complicit in genocide, as are all the Western governments that have armed, shielded, and politically supported it. The current Israeli government, led by Benjamin Netanyahu, an evil man if ever there was one, is openly pursuing the total destruction of Palestinian life. In line with the long-held goals of the settler movement, it seeks to annex both Gaza and the West Bank into a greater Israel. While tens of thousands of Palestinians in Gaza have been killed, most of them women and children, Western leaders have not merely looked away. They are enabling the slaughter. The United States, foremost among them, has poured billions in military aid into Israel and continues to do so, despite evidence that these weapons are being used against civilians. In the UK, weak politicians repeat the saccharine mantra of Israel's right to defend itself. Germany, paralysed by its own historic guilt, has responded by silencing critics of Israel, banning pro-Palestinian protests, censoring artists, and conflating Palestinian solidarity with anti-Semitism. Most Western media has echoed the politicians. Major outlets like the BBC and CNN routinely spout Israeli military statements while treating Palestinian suffering as tragic but somehow inevitable. The word genocide is avoided even as entire families are being erased, neighbourhoods obliterated, and aid convoys bombed. a false equivalence prevails, reducing settler colonialism, apartheid, and righteous resistance to a cycle of violence, erasing Israel's role as occupier and aggressor. International journalists have been banned from entering Gaza. The only images and testimonies to reach the world have come from Palestinian reporters already inside, working under siege and in unimaginable conditions. More than 100 journalists have been killed since October 2023, making this the deadliest period for the press in modern history. Many were targeted while clearly identified as media workers. Their deaths, like those of Palestinian civilians, have been met with silence or indifference from governments and Western outlets that, in any other conflict, would have rightly called such killings war crimes. But presumably, because of its big brother, the US, Israel is allowed to get away with anything. Murder, starvation is a method of war. Ethnic cleansing, you name it. In addition to journalists, aid convoys and UN facilities have been routinely targeted by Israel. Dozens of aid workers from respected organizations, including Médecins Sans Frontières, the World Central Kitchen and the UN, have been killed by Israeli airstrikes, despite having shared their coordinates with the Israeli military in advance. Far, far too late and far too weak, there are now tentative signs that the dam of blind support is beginning to splinter. Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez has called Israel a genocidal state. The governments of the UK, France and Canada have begun issuing statements demanding that the killing stop and that Israel allow humanitarian aid into Gaza. Such steps, welcome of course, are grossly inadequate. These governments watch the genocide unfold in real time. They have armed it and they continue to defend it. And only now, after months of mass public protest, 500,000 people, for example, marched in London on the 17th of May, are they offering mealy-mouthed objections? Where are their humanity, their principles, their moral courage? The men and women currently in office in the UK, the US and across Europe are not leaders. They are weak, manipulative, dishonest salesmen. History will judge them harshly and rightly so. Their cowardice has cost tens of thousands of lives. They will be remembered as collaborators in genocide, standing not with the victims but with the killers. Immediate, decisive action is needed. Israel should be completely isolated from the global community. All arms sales must end, obviously. Sanctions should be imposed not just on individual settlers, but on the state of Israel itself. All diplomatic ties must be severed, embassies closed. Palestine recognized as a state by all nations and by the UN. And the principal perpetrators, Netanyahu and his gang of monsters, must be arrested, tried, and sentenced for war crimes and crimes against humanity. Anything less is not justice, it's a betrayal of humanity, a cowardly act of manipulation that sanctions ongoing slaughter, systemic persecution, and the brutal domination and looming extermination of an entire people. And another article on the subject of Gaza, and this is taken from a website called Substack.com, and it's titled Instant Karma from Warfare. In a Substack article titled War Dust and Collateral Inhalation, Israel Breathes in Gaza's Dust, former Ohio Congressman Dennis Kucinich called attention to the undeniable environmental and health effects of the bombing of Gazans by Israelis, as well as citizens of neighbouring states. His well-researched article begins with this simple sentence: Gaza is suffering the most intense bombing per capita of anywhere on Earth ever. He substantiates that statement with figures from the UN Satellite Center indicating that over 100,000 tons of bombs have been dropped on Gaza an area slightly smaller than the city of Detroit, Michigan. These have resulted in the recorded deaths of at least 60,000 Gazans and injuries to hundreds of thousands. By studying explosion physics, blast temperature data and consequent emissions, wind patterns, available data on health effects from 9/11, and data gathered from US veterans of the Persian Gulf War, he concludes that Israel, in executing the unprecedented bombing attack on Gaza, is, in effect, bombing itself, with grave consequences for the public health of its people. What is being visited upon Gaza does not stay in Gaza. He goes on to explain that sustained bombing of Gaza pulverizes stone, heavy metals, and the human body. Human bodies vaporized under extreme heat and pressure combine with dust, water vapor, and metallic particles the size of microns, and all blasts upwards, aerosolized and driven by the wind into Israel and surrounding countries. He says almost poetically, Israel, in bombing neighboring Gaza, is breathing in its own fallout along with the vaporized remains of its declared enemies. The external consequences of violence become internalized. The substance of the oppressed communes with the oppressor. Added to the dust of Gazan's human remains, one calculation indicated that 100,000 tons of bombs exploded in the densely populated area of Gaza can generate up to 1.2 million tons of pollution. The 9/11 explosion in Manhattan can provide a reasonable comparison in terms of expected health effects. A month after 9/11, people in Manhattan began to develop chronic coughs. A study after 6 months showed that New York firemen began to suffer from chronic bronchitis, and some saw the onset of pulmonary fibrosis. After 2 years, there was a higher incidence of thyroid, prostate, breast, and other cancers among those exposed to 9/11 contaminants. After 5 years or more, symptoms of early onset neurodegenerative Alzheimer's type symptoms presented themselves. Kucinich indicates that various degrees of harm from the incessant bombing of Gaza will reach past southern and central Israel into western Jordan, the northeast Sinai Peninsula, northern Egypt, Lebanon, Cyprus, southwestern Syria, northwestern Saudi Arabia, southeastern Turkey, Crete, Greece, Sicily, and Malta. U.S. military installations and naval forces in those areas will also experience war dust pollution hazards. Because the bombing of Gaza has created a human health crisis, he calls for an immediate ceasefire and implores the UN to address the collapse of the Palestinian public health system as well as lead an assessment of the toxic environmental effects of the war. Setting up monitoring stations is imperative, he says, as the people of the world have a right to know what's in the air they breathe. He concludes, human rights and compassion are not considerations in bombing Gazans. Perhaps enlightened self-preservation can be introduced as a means to stop the bombing once and for all. The war against Gazans must end. And perhaps through the suffering of Gazans and understanding the regional and global health impact of bombing, we may understand why it is a time to call an end to all wars. I was going to read a short excerpt from one of my Matreya's messages, but we are out of time. So thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the program. For more information, check out the website share-international.org. And you can, of course, also email us at sharonz@yahoo.com. Wishing you all a lovely week.
never miss your favourite shows again. Click on Business. The Planet Order.